Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to Mark chapter 2, and we're going to do our best to expound verses 1 through 12, and allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for the worship. We thank you for the saints that have pressed out tonight. And Lord, we're asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. I've entitled this evening's message, When Jesus Sees Your Faith. When Jesus sees your faith. And when we read these verses 1 through 12, we're going to see something so profound, something that touches the heart of God. And the one thing that will move heaven is your faith. Can I get an amen? So let's read these verses, and then we're going to just ask the Holy Ghost to have his way tonight. Amen. Verse 1 and 2. And again he entered Capernaum. We know the town of Capernaum. Till this day it is still cursed because they fell in unbelief. After some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Verse 2. Immediately many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door, and he preached the word to them. Another thing I need you to highlight tonight is he not only ministered, but he preached to them. Jesus was a preacher. I hope you know that. He was not just God in the flesh. He was a preacher of all preachers. Look at this. Verse 3. Then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. Now check this out. Here's a man that's crippled. Couldn't walk. But four men carried him. What kind of faith did the four men have? That's overlooked. You know, here's someone that can't walk, but what about the four men that carried him? Let's look at this. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. Wow. That's like if Jesus was at your home and there was such a big crowd, so they went on top of your roof and started making a hole to drop them in. Sometimes desperate faith results in desperate miracles. Can I get amen? And so let's look at this. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven you. Well, wait a minute. He couldn't walk. One of the things why sometimes we prevent or people prevent God from truly healing them is because they're still walking in sin. So he had to take care of the sin first before the healing could come. Can I get an amen to that? And so look at this. Your sins are forgiven you. Verse 6. And some of the scribes were sitting there reasoning in their hearts. Now, these are the religious folks. You know, they're the ones that are checking everything out. They just came for a circus, a sideshow. They didn't come for the right reason. They wanted to spy out to see what was this all about. But little did they know that before their eyes for the first time, the Son of God was in their midst. Look at this. Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone? So now, these religious folks that wrote the Torah, they're going, they don't get it. You know why? Because they're from the earth. Jesus came from heaven. They didn't know heavenly things. Can I get amen? Look at this. But immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, why do you reason about these things in your hearts? So we're going to see just in a few minutes how Jesus has Superman vision. You know the X-ray vision? He sees right inside your heart. Things that you don't know what's going on in your heart. Look at this. Which is easier to say, the paralytic, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise, take up your bed and walk? So he's having this conversation with the religious leaders, and they're baffled. They're just totally baffled. All these people that they're bringing to Jesus, the leprosy, the blind, the mute, he's touching them and healing them by the grace of God. Amen? Verse 10, but that you may know the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. He said to the paralytic, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go your way to your house. So in other words, he wasn't there like sometimes, you know, in the name of Jesus. No, he just spoke the word, and the man got up. How many of you want to see those miracles again like that? You just walk in faith, believe God. Believe that he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever think and ask and hope for. Look at verse 12. And immediately he rose and took up the bed and went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed. They glorified God. And they said, we never saw anything like this. Wow. And so let's go back to verse 1 and 2. And the Bible says, and again he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately many gathered, so that there was no longer room to receive them. I mean, it was just packed out. Have you ever been to a home where, man, it's just, it's like elbow room only? Okay, we've been there, huh? Family gatherings, parties, whatever. But you ever seen a Bible study that was like that? I have, in China, the underground church. They're there for 12 hours, like a can of sardines. But you know what? They're in the presence of Almighty God, and that's all that matters to them. So immediately many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. Man, he was just preaching it. So saints, Jesus returned to Capernaum, which had become his base of operations while he was in Galilee. Everyone in Capernaum had been looking for him. So when the people heard that he was back, they packed the house. Man, they just gathered. Listen, you would gather to a house if you knew that supernatural, real miracles were taking place. Can I get an amen? Well, guess what? A miracle took place last Sunday. Little Tia gave her heart to the Lord. You got to hear her testimony, what God delivered her from. Listen, the greatest miracle is not the blind seeing, the mute talking, and the lame walking. Is we who were dead in transgressions and sins that God raised up. That is the greatest miracle. Come on, you remember when you were, what, in your BC years? Come on, that was a great miracle when you came to Christ, right? And so instead of healing, however, this time he preached the word to them. Praise God. Praise God. And all other books of the Bible confirm this. Look at this in Luke. Now, when it was day, he departed, went to a deserted place. The crowd sought him and came to him and tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said to them, I must what? Preach. Say that with me. I must preach. God has called us. He has commanded us no differently to preach the word. Can I get amen? I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities, also because for this purpose I have been sent. That's why Jesus came. He came to preach the word. The reason why God saved you is to preach the word. God doesn't want you to be muzzled up. Can I get amen? He wants you to be bold in your faith. Proclaim who he is. And he was preaching in the synagogues of Galilee. How many of you remember Galilee? I can't wait to go back. I want to go back again. You know, once you go there once, you want to go back. Can I get amen? Now, Peter, he testified about the preaching of the gospel, that Jesus came. He came for one purpose. Not only to save us, yes, praise God, but he came to preach. Look at this in Acts. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching. Look at this. Peace through Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. So that should confirm what the gospels have been saying about him preaching the word. And look what the word does. Look at verse 37 here. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. So when we started the book of Mark, we saw who was the forerunner, John the Baptist. And what John's message was, repent, for the kingdom of God is what? At hand. So when the baton was passed to the Lord Jesus Christ, remember, John said, I must now decrease while he increases. So when Jesus fully came into his ministry, everywhere he went, he preached, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And so we see this, the apostles, the disciples, Luke wrote this down as well. Look at this, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Listen, before we come into the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, guess who's oppressing you? Old Slewfoot. Oh, yes. You know, he's not worried. You know what? What I found out, that we now, as born-again believers, there's a target now on us. Man, and I'm telling you, his onslaught is relentless. But God will get the glory. Can I get an amen? God will watch over us. Now look at this, in verse 39, and we are all witnesses of these things, which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day, hallelujah, and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen by before God. Did you know, being a believer in the days that we live in, we are now a witness. We're no different from 2,000 years ago. We're a witness. Why? Because God allowed us to come to the cross by faith. We are saved by grace through faith. Can I get amen? And so look at this. But to the witness chosen before God, God chose you before the world even was spoken into existence. God already knew your name. He knew you before you were conceived in your mother's womb. That's how much he knows you, and that's how much he loves you. Listen, nothing was going to thwart his plan toward you and I. We're here but God's grace. Can I get an amen? But look at this. But to the witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. They're witnesses to that. How many of you would love to have fellowship with Jesus face to face? Well, guess what? It's not going to be too far away. God's going to come for him, for his church. And how many believe you're in that number? Come on. We're here because of him, right? Thank you, God. Thank you. And look what it says here in verse 42. And he commanded us, what? To preach to the people. Oh, yes. And to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge and the living and the dead. So let me just say this. When Jesus comes back, he's going to take the church away, and then he's going to pour out his wrath on this planet. And aren't you so blessed that we're not going to be here for that party? It's going to be, listen, in the book of Revelation, many people are going to run under the rocks and say, rocks fall on us from the face of the Lamb of God. They're going to see whom they pierced. And let me tell you, I wouldn't want to be in that day. Can I get an amen? Aren't you so blessed that God saved you? And now he is raising us up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. So look at this. It says right here, and he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who has ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remissions of sins. This is why when we baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are saved just by his name. Can I get amen? Listen, we have never seen him face to face. Can I get amen? But the Bible says when we baptize in his name, when we believe in his name, the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, we are saved just by the name of the Lord Jesus. Aren't you so blessed that religion can't save you? How many of you grew up in a religious home? We all did, didn't we? Man, we all did the Crisco and Nabisco's. And the we all went there. Come on. And you know what? We still have family back there we need to pray for. Can I get amen? Because God will have mercy on them too. just like how he brought us out. And we need to pray for that organization. There's over 300 priests now that are on blast, what they did in Philadelphia. Are you aware of that? Yeah. Pedophiles. People are coming out now and saying, man, these men molested us. Let me just say this. Someone needs to truly call them out, and they need to truly repent, not just say, oh, we're sorry. These lives are shattered and tattered. Someone needs to be held and accountable. Can I get an amen? But God will be the judge. He'll be the final judge when he comes. Hallelujah. And so, saints, the basic message remained the same. The long-awaited Messiah had come to break the power of sin and begin God's personal reign on earth. Praise God. The miracles Jesus performed served as a sign to Jesus' identity, as well as revealed his compassion and love for the people and all that would come into the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Aren't you so blessed? He had compassion on us. Just go back for one moment. Just think back where you were when he called you by your name. It's an individual, personal salvation. He doesn't call a group. He calls us one by one. And for me, it was 30 years ago by the grace of God. So let's look at verse 3 and 4. It says, then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. Wow. To me, that is tremendous faith. And not just for the one who couldn't walk, but the one that brought him. And there was four of them. They had to have tremendous faith. They had to have faith not only to carry him wherever they came from, but to climb up on a stranger's roof. And then to dig a hole. And then to drop them through. Oh, my God. That's like an oh, my gosh moment. If I had front row seat and I was in there first and I would have saw them bringing them through, I would say, Lord, have mercy. What is this? And so, saints, as Jesus was preaching, four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man, as we just read. The crowd had filled the house and the doorway. So the group couldn't get to Jesus. They couldn't get to him. But these friends of this man would not be deterred. Can I get an amen? Listen, if you knew someone that needed God right away, would there be anything that you could think of that would prevent you from bringing that person to Jesus? Huh? Well, let's learn from their example. Because nothing deterred them. They were determined to get their friend to Jesus. They dug through the clay and the roof above their head. In Bible times, houses were built of stone and had outside stairways that led unto the flat roofs. But here is the key. Because Jesus saw their faith. And here's the key for you and I, saints. How many have sent up petitions? How many are waiting for miracles? How many are waiting for healings? How many of you have asked God for many things in your life? But these people came and they labored bringing him. And so here's the key for you and I. Write this down. This scripture I'm going to show you right here. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. There are some times where you have to just sprawl out before God and say, oh God, I need you, Lord. I need a touch from you, God. I'm in a desert place. Oh God, my friend, they given him 3 weeks. Oh God. When's the last time you sought him with your whole heart? Because the Bible says right here, without faith, it is impossible to please the Lord. What God saw was these men carrying this character, their friend of theirs. And he marveled. He marveled. Oh, yes, they did. Look, saints, and look how Luke describes this. And when they could not find how they might bring him in, You got to remember the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's like four of us. Let's just say four of us were on the corner of right here, 2nd and Madrona. And God forbid we saw an accident. It would be the same accident, but every one of us would have a different perspective on how it took place. Someone would see something that you didn't see and vice versa. So Luke describes it like this. And when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said to him, "Man, your sins are forgiven you." What? You have to catch this. He dealt with his sins, not the healing first. He said, "Your sins." I've prayed for many people, and I've seen miracles. 2 weeks ago, I prayed about Jose Lopez, who had stage 4, was dying, and I prayed for him. But you know what? You know what the key, what his healing was? He cried out to Jesus first to forgive him of his sins. And then the healing came miraculously. See, people want a healing, but they still, here, catch this for a moment. They want a healing so that they can be well and go back and sin some more. Hello? Hello, I just want to get well so I can go back and party, or I could go back and live a wild life. God wants to deal first with your heart, and that you'll totally surrender, and then you will say, "Man, I have sinned before you, God. Now deal with me. I give you my life." And then he goes, "Okay, why?" Because Jesus has Superman vision. He sees your heart. He does. He really does. And so they even attached ropes and the corner of the pallet carefully lowered the paralyzed man in front of Jesus. Now, let's go back to Mark 2 and verse 5. Look at this. And when they saw their faith, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic man, just like we just read in Luke, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." Then the healing came. You see, we might expect a popular preacher in the middle of speaking to an expectant crowd to be annoyed at this intrusion. Jesus marveled at their faith. How many of you would have got, especially if you were the owner of the house and someone bore a hole through your roof? Huh? I don't think you'd be a happy camper, would you? But to see this man, who probably couldn't walk all of his life, walk again, I think that would have been worth the ticket. It would have been worth the ticket. Among the words Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "My son, your sins are forgiven." The man needed spiritual healing, so Jesus forgave his sins. Then Jesus healed the man. Look at this in Matthew up here. When they crossed over and they came to the land of the Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized him, they sent out into the surrounding region, brought to him all who were sick, and begged him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched it were perfect. Do we have I don't see it up here. Yeah. You know, when we see throughout the Word of God, in the English translation doesn't give us a true meaning, but we think a hem is like from a gown. It's called the tzitzit. And Jesus, it's okay. Yeah, it's all right. So Jesus walked around with his prayer shawl, and they were touching this. This is what's called the hem of his garment. And if we do an in-depth study of this, the Word of God is throughout these little threads. And we don't have time to go into it. But all they did was come by and just touch it. Their faith made them whole. Man, isn't that something? That's how desperate, and sometimes we need to be desperate for God. If you're not desperate for Him, guess what? You're not going to receive anything. These people were desperate for God. They've never seen anything like it, and many have died over and over and over and times and days and years that have gone by in their lives. And now here comes someone that's healing the very sicknesses of the day. And look at this. And begged Him that they might only touch the hem of His garment. And as many as touched it were made perfectly well. My goodness. Isn't that a blessing? That's the kind of God we serve. And you got to believe God, hallelujah, that He has saved you for such a time as this. We're not here by I'm here by circumstance or coincidence. There's purpose in your life. Can I get an amen? And God has a mighty plan for each and every one of us. Each and every one of us, He has a mighty plan. So let's go back now to verse 6 and 7. And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone? So now they're squabbling. How can He forgive sins? Because the first thing that Jesus said, your sins have been forgiven. Oh, man, those scribes and Pharisees, man, they must have had a tizzy. Huh? They were like, what? Blasphemy. Forgive sins. See, saints, the teachers of the religious law were the legal specialists in Jesus' day. Jesus' teaching and His popularity had prompted special investigation by the powerful leaders of the Jewish faith. In verse 7, they said, why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone? So they were like, wow, what do you mean? But yet after He forgave that man's sins, he became whole. So that alone was a witness against their theology, against their mindset, against their negativity. And so these teachers had been dispatched from Jerusalem to come all the way down to Capernaum, and they made their way into the crowd that filled the house. So listen, you're always going to have these clowns in the midst of real miracles going on, and you're going to have these onlookers like, yeah, right. That's human nature. And this is what happened here. Jealous of Jesus' popularity and power, these men hoped to find something to criticize or even condemn in Jesus' teaching. Oh, they were looking for something. Saints, let me just say this. As a Christian, friends and family members, they're going to look at your life like this. And they can't wait till you slip and say something or do something. Oh, wait a minute. I thought you were a Christian. What are you doing in that club? What are you doing drinking that? What are you doing? Who's that other person with you? Oh, come on. How many of you got that already? You become under the microscope now. And so these religious characters came to do that. They came to see, oh man, we got to find some dirt. Every day they're trying to find dirt. Even in the present, let him be. If he's not the man, God will remove him. But if he's the man, well guess what? He'll try to do something for the nation. Listen, every presidency that came and gone, God has allowed. He raised them up. Can I get amen? So listen, just pray. Pray for those. God raises them up and He sets them down. Pray for the offices that, you know what? If they're not doing something that you want, then pray that God change their heart. Can I get amen? Amen. Just say, God, change their heart. Like I said, I don't vote party. I vote platform. If they're against abortion, if they're against the same-sex marriage and all these things that are abomination to God, guess what? That's who I want. I'm not gonna commingle with the dark. We can't commingle with the dark. Can I get amen? Then we will stand before God and say, listen, I called you to be a light. Where are you mingling with them? I love them and I want to save them. but I'm not going to compromise with their sin. Can I get an amen? It's the bottom line. And so when they heard Jesus tell the paralyzed man that his sins were forgiven, they were shocked. They were like, what? How, what do you mean forgiven? And we don't know what kind of sin he was in. We don't. All I know, aren't you so blessed that God has forgiven you of your sins? Listen, I don't care what you were involved in. I don't care what you were bound up to. I don't care what lifestyle you were in. When God forgives you, you are washed in the blood of the Lamb. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. And we are walking in the glory of God. Can I get an amen? We're heaven bound, and now there's a hell to shun. Thank you, God. For Jesus to claim to forgive sins was considered blasphemy to these religious leaders, defined as claiming to be God or to do what only God can do. And so this is why they hated Jesus, because they did go back to the Word. They just didn't make this up. Look what it says right here. And whoever blasphemes the name of the Lord in Leviticus shall surely be put to death. All the congregation shall certainly stone him. Now, that was a real rock concert. They weren't getting stoned by smoking the bongs. No, they were actually being stoned by rocks. Look at this. Aren't you so blessed that we don't live in those days now? Because as soon as you fumble the ball, they take you to the front of the city and stone you to death. That was the law of Moses. My goodness. Look at this. All the congregations shall certainly stone him, the stranger as well as him who was born in the land. When he blasphemes the name of the Lord, he shall be put to death. They looked at Jesus that he was being a blasphemer by saying your sins are forgiven. Saints, the religious leaders, they were correct in the statement that only God can forgive sins. How many truly believe only God can forgive sins? We get that, right? But they didn't know that Jesus was walking as 100% man and 100% God at the same time. He was the God-man. But they refused it. Look at this. Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who what? Forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. Aren't you so blessed that when we gave our heart to Jesus, he took care of that issue. Can I get an amen? Come on. And some of you are waiting for a healing, and I'm going to speak the word tonight. You are healed by the stripes of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? Come on, you got to believe God. That's right. I don't believe the report of man. I remember 7 months ago, they said I had some kind of cancer in my blood. That was a lie from the pit. I didn't receive that. And it wasn't. I went and got checked 3 more times. And you know what? That first report didn't come from God. God said, you are healed. Can I get an amen? So they were right. Only God can forgive sins and also forgive iniquity. They didn't understand that when Jesus said, you are forgiven, that came all the way from heaven with the authority. Can I get an amen? And look what it says even in Isaiah. I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will... what? Not remember your sins. How many are so blessed tonight, right now as we speak, that God doesn't remember your sin anymore? You know, we walk around condemning our heart. Oh, woe is me. But wait a minute. He took care of your sins on the cross. So now we need to walk in victory. Can I get an amen? Man, walk in the newness of life. Walk in a life that has been forgiven by God. And we can sing praises and glorify him, even through all of our mistakes. Because we will fumble the ball even in our walk. But he doesn't just body slams you. Aren't you so blessed that when we do slip and stumble, he doesn't allow us to remain there? Oh, come on. If you're a true child of God, I don't care how long you was out in the world, You know what? He says, okay, now it's time to come back now. I've been good to you, even in the midst of your rebellion. I've been good to you. And when you realize that, man, you just want to embrace him. Say, God, thank you for not destroying me out there. Can I get amen? That's the grace of God. That's the mercy of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Because there is no one perfect here. Hallelujah. But the Holy Spirit of God, that he's perfect. Can I get amen? Look at what it says right here in Daniel. To the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness. Though we have rebelled against him, he still found mercy and grace to give us. But these religious folks, and you know what? Till this day, there's religious organizations that will still judge you. They'll still mock you. They'll still, man, you don't look like us. Oh, I've been there, done that, huh? Man, where's the grace? Where's God's grace and God's love toward his children that are truly his? Can I get an amen? Forgiveness of sins was a sign that the messianic age had come. So it was prophesied that when Jesus would come, he was going to deal with our sins. Because the Old Testament people, they had to bring bulls and turtle doves, and the altar was a bloody mess. Jesus was the final sacrifice. How many are so blessed to know that Jesus is the final sacrifice? Huh? Thank you. Man, just imagine, man. Okay, it's Wednesday night. Here you are coming in with the big old bull. Man, when Jesus died and rose again, guess where he went? He went to the mercy seat. Bam, and he sprinkled his blood on the mercy seat. And now you and I have been forgiven. Can I get amen? Man, thank you, God. But the messianic age was sounded. Look at this in Joel right here. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the remnant whom the Lord calls. And God has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Hallelujah. Thousands of years later, can I get amen? We are recipients of God's grace. Now we can walk, hallelujah, in the freeness and say, oh God, thank you for setting me free. Thank you, God. I got to bring up my sister probably next Sunday. She's going to get baptized. But the things that she shared with me, God is doing a miraculous thing in her life. Young life. Last Sunday when I had my four grandchildren here, I thought she was about their same age. She looked no older than my son, who's only 12. I go, man, I didn't know you're a young adult. And God's hand has been upon you. And he's going to bless you mightily. Look at this. Look at Micah. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? Listen, I need you to get a hold of that. Who is God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? Before you were conceived in your mother's womb, he already knew who you were. The Bible says, before he spoke the whole entire universe into existence, he already slew the Lamb of God for you and me. We can't see past tomorrow. But he took care of our sin problem before he spoke the whole universe into existence. So he passed over the transgression of his remnant. We are his remnant. Oh my gosh. Aren't you so blessed to know that you are his child? And by knowing that you are his remnant, he has watched over you since birth. He has pursued you. He has cared for you. He has blessed you from birth. How many are so blessed to know that we could have died in our sin, the life that we lived? How many can testify to that? The life that we once lived, we could have died in our sin. But God said that he has a remnant of his heritage. He kept us alive for such a time as this, so that we can glorify and magnify and testify to a dying world that God can save you too. Look at this. He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in mercy. We serve a God of mercy. This is Jesus. This was Micah the prophet and Joel the prophet and all the prophets prophesying that when Jesus would come, he would show great mercy. Look at this. He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in mercy. He will again have compassion on us, and he will subdue our iniquities. I don't care what you were involved in. He dealt with it at the cross. He subdued it. Listen, something that you can't arrest your own sin. Some of you can't even see your own sin, let alone deal with it. But he nailed it to the cross. Hallelujah. Look at this. It says, and will subdue all of our iniquity. Look at this. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. You will give truth to Jacob and mercy to Abraham, which you have sworn to our fathers from days of old. So we are now grafted in to the line of Abraham by faith. Isn't that something? God did it all by himself. He didn't need our help. And I'm so blessed that he came looking for me. I'm so blessed that he came looking for you. So let's go now to verse 8. But immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Jesus knew what they were discussing. And their hostility and anger of Jesus' words could not be hidden. Jesus asked them this, why do you think this is blasphemy? He had to ask them, why do you think this was blasphemy that I told this man, your sins are forgiven? Would the teachers of the religious law respond? Or did they too believe that this man to be the Messiah? They didn't believe he was the Messiah. They were looking for fault. Religious folks will look for fault in your life. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. Someone that has a true relationship with the Lord and know his mercy and his grace will have the same mercy and grace toward you. But religious folks, Oh, yeah. They don't walk like us. They don't talk like us. There's something wrong. But God knew their hearts. And how many believe that God knows our heart? I got some scripture to prove that. It's right up here in Jeremiah. Look at this. The heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. Listen, you can't get nothing past God. This is why he came to deal with our sins, because we deceive ourselves. We're self-deceptive. We see things in others, but we don't see our own. Can I get an amen to that one? And when we want to hear gossip, the only reason why you want to hear gossip on someone else is because you want to rise above that. I'm not like that. Oh, keep telling me more. Don't worry. No one's going to know. And as soon as that person walks into church, everyone's going to go, oh, that's the one. Why? Because that's our nature, isn't it? Because we're... The heart is deceitful. Our human heart is deceitful. This is why we need Jesus every day. Can I get an amen? We need to walk in his grace. We need to walk in his mercy. Oh, God, I'm not even worthy to be called your son, but yet you still called me. And so I'm going to walk in your ways the best way I know how. And teach me your ways, oh, Lord. And that's the key for us tonight, saints. Have a teachable heart. Allow God to teach you in his word. Can I get an amen? So in verse 9, which is easier to say, Jesus told them, to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise, take up your bed and walk. So God just threw it right back at them. You know, the Lord, man, he is awesome in wisdom. You can't trap Jesus. I hope you know that. If religious leaders couldn't do it, neither can we in the modern day and time that we live in. We can't trap Jesus. He's the epitome of all wisdom. Nothing past God. And so the teachers of the religious law knew about Jesus' ability to heal. And they probably had expected Jesus to immediately heal the paralyzed man. Instead, Jesus forgave the man's sins. To the teachers, this sounded like blasphemy. And it also sounded like an easy out. Anyone can just say someone's sins are forgiven, but it would take someone with great power and authority. And how many are so blessed that we are forgiven because of God's power and authority? Listen, there's nothing wrong in the religious organization that we grew up in. You know, we might have got a certificate when we was a child, but until we got older, God dealt with us a little later, didn't he? Because a baby cannot repent. You ever ask yourself that? An infant can't repent. They were placed a religious law upon them. But as we come into an understanding, a point of accountability, then God proposes us. He brings it to us. Repent or perish. And by God's grace, hallelujah, he quickened us and we came to him. How many are so blessed that you are now a child of God? Come on. And there was nothing you and I did about it. So let's go now to verse 10. We're coming in for a close. But you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. He said to the paralytic, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go your way to the house. By recording this incident, Mark hoped to prove his audience beyond any doubt that Jesus was the Messiah. Can I get amen? Look at saints. No human except one delegated that authority by God himself, and that the Son of Man has that authority. Because Jesus spoke it out. He said it right here. And Jesus came in Matthew 28 to them and said, all authority has been given, what? To me in heaven and on earth. Thank you, God. It's his authority, not ours. And we are recipients of his grace. Remember that tonight. We're recipients of his grace. And so we look at this last verse of scripture in Mark chapter 2, verse 12. Immediately he rose, took up the bed, and went out in the presence of them all. He rose up. This man was crippled. Remember the four men brought him in? That man got up. Got up. We never saw anything like this. Listen. I never saw anything like that until I got saved. I would hear them. You know, I would look at religious. I would just think, they're just religious. But until the miracle happened to me, there was nothing for me to testify. And let me just say this. We're going to close in these scriptures. Because Jesus wrote a story. And this is why we need to pray. How many people believe, or how many people do you know in your life that are not saved? Many, huh? How many can you honestly say tonight that maybe at once, twice, maybe more than several times that they've mocked you for your faith? I have 11 brothers and sisters. When I first got saved, they had nothing to do with me. They all forsook me, every one of them. Brother G, you guys know who Brother G, he was the first one to get saved in my family, and then he went right back out in the world. He'll share his testimony one day. And so then I get saved, and every one of my 11 brothers and sisters had nothing to do with me. I had no clue other than I was thankful that I got saved. And eventually I saw a couple of them come to the Lord. But one of the things that God confirmed in my spirit is that when he saved me from a place called hell. I was headed there. Two Sundays ago, my uncle was here with Brother Hidalgo, Juan, who's running for the 51st congressional office. And my uncle, Eddie Cervantes, my mom's brother, he would come to me because he was an investigator for the DA's office. He goes, you know, Fee, they're watching you. He goes, no, let me phrase it this way. He said, we are watching you. And so I was in the midst of my drug dealing. And I didn't know. I was lost. This is about 35 years ago. And he was here, sitting in here. But when I got saved, God showed me one thing, first and foremost. Had I not repented, I was going to a place of torment, a place called hell. And many of us know people right now that their life can be altered and changed by us praying and fasting and that God would save them. But let me just say this. The story we're going to read, and then we close. Jesus told the man that was in hell, even if you were to rise again from the dead, they still will not believe you. Let's read this story. In Luke 16, there was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Wow, this guy was down and out. He had nothing. He was begging for crumbs. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torment in Hades, which is hell, look at this. He lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send... He was still looking at this poor man as like a type of servant. Look at this. He wasn't learning his lesson in hell. Look, he says, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. That's a real place. This is not allegory. It's a literal, real place that people end up that having given their heart to Christ. Look at this. But Abraham said, son, remember that in your lifetime, you received good things and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. So what is God painting here? Heaven is real and there's a gulf in between heaven and hell. And guess what? Heaven cannot go down there, and hell cannot reach heaven either. So there's a big, huge gulf between heaven and hell. What Jesus is teaching here tonight in the Word. And look at this. And he says, and besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those pass to us. Then he said, I beg you, therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house. In other words, send Lazarus to my... Why do you want him to send him to his father's house? Why? For I have five brothers that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. What? Okay, this is getting home now. This is reaching home now. I got family members that are not walking with Christ. I got more than five brothers. There's only three of us out of 11, I could honestly say, that are walking with the Lord. Look at this. Abraham said to him, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they'll repent. But he said to them, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. There's some people that are so stubborn in their heart. They reject God's grace. They reject the salvation message. And God says, they perish. This is why we need to pray for them. Can I get amen? There is still hope. But this is a real place, saints. And God saved you and I from that horrible place. Man, I had no clue that down there is a place of torment. Where Jesus talks about it and throughout the gospel. Did you know that Jesus talks about hell more than heaven? Read the gospels. That's why he came, to save us from that place. And so if there's anything that I'm thankful for, it's not that he freed me from drugs. It's not that he blessed me with a beautiful, wonderful wife for 22 years now. It's not because he's provided for me. Those are all benefits of his grace. You know what I'm so thankful for? Is that he saved me from a place of torment. That I can cry out and say, God, thank you for saving me from that horrible place. He says, where the worm dieth not. In the scriptures, it says that those that are tormented down there, worms are coming out of their mouth and ears, and they're in the flames, and they will not die. Wow, this is a real story. This is not a fairy tale. This is why you and I are called out of darkness into his marvelous light. That we would cry out for the souls that are lost. And I am so blessed to hear this young lady's story. Oh yeah. One of the things I shared with her, you gave your heart to Christ, the enemy's going to come. So the enemy tried to come, and she used the word. And the enemy fled. Right, sister? And she come on Sunday to get baptized. Why? Because you know what? She found this new life more, hallelujah, more beneficial to her life now. And you that are here, God has blessed you. Aren't you so blessed to be a child of God? And one of the things that I am so blessed, seriously, me and Sister Yolanda talked about it. We were praying that we needed more mothers in Zion. You know what mothers in Zion are? And we got a mother in Zion here. That's right. Man, she's got some great wisdom. I heard her last Wednesday night teaching already, telling, this is what you need to do. Can I get an amen? That's God's grace. That's his mercy. That's his love toward us. And so I'm going to pray as we close that God would speak to us. Now, by God's grace, we don't have to fear this place. Can I get an amen? He has delivered us from this place. It's the people that don't know God. It's we need to have a heart to cry out for them. Can I get an amen? And so let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your goodness and grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your loving kindness, God. We thank you, Lord, that while we were yet sinners, you died for us. You shed your blood for us. And now we can cry out, Abba, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Daddy. We've been grafted in by faith. We've been adopted now by you, oh God. At one time, we were enemies to the cross, and now we are friends with you. And you call us your friend. And we are so mighty thankful. Thankful. Who you are, God. Lord, I pray, Lord, for those who are listening to this message. Lord, I pray, Lord, for tremendous mercy and grace. Thank you, God, that we can teach the Word of God unabated, unhindered. That we can preach the gospel without fear of man. And that you would liberate us because we walk in your truth. And so, Lord, we just cry out tonight for those, Lord, that are still not walking in your ways. Lord, we pray for their salvation. It starts with my family and then my friends and then my sphere of influence. We all have a sphere of influence. There's people in our lives that we will never see the people in our lives and vice versa. But God, you know who they are. And we pray for great mercy, oh God. We pray that you would outstretch your hand and save them, God, in the days that we live. Because we know that you are the soon coming King. And you will take your rightful place on the throne of David in the mountains of Jerusalem. Thank you, God. You allow us to see it with our own eyes. And so, God, be merciful. Be gracious. Be loving, God, like you always have been. And save our family members. Save our friends. Save our co-workers. Save all those people that we know. And maybe even those that we can't even remember right now. But have mercy, God. And so my prayer is that if you're listening to this message, that you would cry out. Cry out and pray this simple prayer of faith. Those four men came with tremendous faith to bring their friend. And God is saying, just have the faith the size of a mustard seed. And you'll be able to move a mountain. So if that's you tonight, God is asking you to have the faith the size of a mustard seed. And watch God do the miraculous in your life. Pray this prayer. We're going to pray it with you. And watch God do the miraculous. Because we just read, He dealt first with our sins before the healing came. And so pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for my life. I thank you for what you've done for me. I thank you, God, that I am now a child of God. But I pray for those right now that are listening, that's never been saved. Pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to follow you and to honor you all the days of my life in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give him praise and glory in the house. Man, he's worthy, huh?
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.